chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember, Paul was here for 18 months, and he's writing back to them after about a 5 or 6 year period. So they should have grown a little bit. They should have matured a little bit. And they should not be dealing with things like when Paul first got there. Remember in chapter 1, Paul rebuked them for their divisive spirit. In chapter 2, they misunderstood the gospel and its wisdom, comparing the world's wisdom with the gospel wisdom, and trying to intertwine the two. And it doesn't work. And now in chapter 3, Paul is going to show the result of their fleshly, worldly, carnal minds here. And we're going to see what that looks like. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 1. Brothers, I could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to worldly, even as to babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with solid food. For to this day you were not able to endure it, nor are you able to now. So now there's a time that Paul cannot teach them the spiritual truths that he desires. I can't imagine how frustrating that would be for Paul, someone who has spent all this time and energy and labor, knowing they should have on their own moved on by now, but have not. Now he mentions here he wasn't able to give them anything solid at this time. He still has to give them milk. Now, is milk bad? No. No, Peter tells us that those believers desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, right? So there is a time in our spiritual lives. Don't look at a physical age. Always look at someone's spiritual age. Just because someone has gray hair does not mean they're wise in the Lord. Trust me, you'll be disappointed greatly many times. They're babes in Christ. Now that is okay. It is okay to be a babe in Christ and to desire the milk of the Word of God. But at some point, we have to move on. Hebrews tells us that. No more going over Christ and Him crucified. You have to move on. There's other things that God desires for us to learn. So he's saying, brothers, I could not speak to you as a spiritual man, but as to worldly. So Paul is having to use worldly or carnal terms to teach them, like we would teach a babe in Christ. I have fed you with milk, verse 2, and not with solid food. For to this day you're not able to endure it, nor are you able to now. After 5 or 6 years, a baby should be able to have some solid food, right? 5 or 6 years old. What's that? Right. Yeah, exactly. And if they're not looking too good. So at this point in their church life, at this point in the body of Christ, after a handful of years, they should have grown and gone forward. You're noticing what happens to a body. God will not allow that church to grow if they're focused on the world, on carnality. They have personal sins dwelling in their life. Now, are there people here? Yes. Do they look like they're doing something for God? Yes. They're using all their gifts. They're coming together, but they're not doing it the proper way. So they're busy in fellowship. They're busy in getting together. They're busy at looking like they're doing godly things. But you're going to see after each chapter how frustrated Paul is at this church on what they're doing and what they should be doing. He's saying you're not even now, after such a amount of time as this, to endure this solid word. Why is that? Verse 3, for you are still worldly, since there is envy, strife, and divisions among you. Are you not worldly and behaving as mere men? That as mere men is an unsaved, unregenerate person. For while one says, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not worldly? Now, these are born-again believers, correct? These people are born again. They're saved. They're going to heaven when they die. They are a child of God. And yet, even a child of God can live in carnality. They can. Nowhere in here does Paul say you need to get saved. They're already saved. That's why he's so burdened and sad for them. They're living as an unsaved person. They're acting like an unsaved, but a saved person can be given to carnality. And how that works is when I'm looking at the world's philosophy, when I'm looking not just outside, but society, all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When I try and adopt that philosophy into the body of Christ and say, hey, we have our leadership. We have our men like our people do at Corinth. We have our leaders. That's why it's very vital that you never exalt me and say, well, Pastor Jesse says. Don't do that. Say, the Word of God says. Don't be here because you like me. Be here because you love the Lord, and I love the Lord. That makes sense? So, it gets very nerve-wracking when people exalt a man, and they write all these books, and well, so-and-so doesn't say that. Do you think it's possible that so-and-so could be wrong? But they become an idol in my mind, and it's like, well, they can do no wrong. Nope. There are a lot of people who write lots of books and are pastors of big and small churches that have different views on things. It doesn't mean they're right. I don't care how many degrees they have. Correct? We're noticing how simple Paul's going to get to things here at Corinth. It's really cool. Now, I'm not against those things either. I'm not against the churches and books and things like that. It's when the person exalts that above the Word of God. Well, the Word of God doesn't say that. Yeah, but he does. The Word of God doesn't say that, but I experienced it. Okay, now we're taking things outside the Word of God and exalting it above God's Word. That's worldly. That's what unsaved people do. That's what mere men, unregenerate men do. Not the body of Christ. All right, so there's divisions here. There's different things going on. I am of Paul. I am Apollos. Are you not worldly? Look at verse number 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Look what he does here. But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to each one. So he's saying, listen, I have a ministry and Apollos has a ministry. We're brothers in Christ. We are ministers together equally. Now, Paul could have, and he had every right to do this, say, well, I'm the one that was given the mystery. I was the one that was given the secret revelation. I was the one. Now, can you imagine that language being spoken to a church who's full of pride right now? That would give in to exactly what they're doing. Well, don't listen to Apollos because I'm the one that started the church out the right way. I'm the one that can preach the gospel to you. That would just give right into what he's saying what not to do. Right? Don't do that. He's saying, myself and Apollos, all we are, we're equal co-ministers in Christ. That Jesus is the same Jesus that you believed, Corinthians, that you believed. Look what he says. Verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. He never said, Paul never said, I gave the increase. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have Jesus. He never said that. Isn't that so cool that Paul could? Doesn't mean you should. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. No, he's showing what a humble minister looks like. Apollos and I, we're on the same page. We love each other equally because we love the Lord equally. Yes, was I the one that came by and laid the foundation? Absolutely. That's no more greater than Apollos coming in and trying to add on that and establish the body. They're both the same thing. We're both being obedient to the ministry that Christ has for us. And look at who gets the glory. But God gave the increase. I can only control my obedience to the gift that God has given me. However God wants to increase that is up to Him. I'm not looking for what a business says is profitable. I'm not looking for more people or more money or more buildings or more. I'm not looking at that. That's not the increase I'm looking at. I can't control that in ministry. Now, I can control that if I switch our church to a business model. And those are our goals, money and people. Now our philosophy changes to bring people in, right? Regardless of who they are, where they are, and what they are. That's wrong. Amen. That's wrong. Paul's saying, I went out, preached the gospel. Apollos is establishing the church after I come through. Either way, God is giving the increase. Now look, if you look at Corinthians, you wouldn't say, wow, that's the increase that God gave a bunch of people living in sin and bringing it into the body. God allows free will, right? Free choice. We look at how obedient am I to the gift and ministry God has given me. We'll get to that here in a little bit because he goes over rewards. We're going to go over rewards next week too for the judgment seat of Christ. But obedience to what God has given me. I can't control the outcome. I don't want to control the outcome physically on earth. I want to control the outcome on being obedient here and eternal rewards. That outcome I can control. Verse 7, so then neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but God who gives the increase. That's what I mean when I say, hey, you're not my people, you're God's people. I didn't die for the church, Jesus did. The way church is not Pastor Jesse. It's Jesus Christ as our head. Verse 8, now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Not increase, because God gives the increase. The labor I can control. I can control how much effort I put in to serving Jesus. I can do that. My labor is controlled by me. Now, I'm not saying labor involves physical walking for everybody. I'm not saying labor involves going places all the time. You can labor in prayer. Matter of fact, I hope that we all labor in prayer. I hope we exhaust ourselves in prayer. That is the number one thing we should be doing is praying. That's our direct access to God the Father. Labor and fervent prayer. We can all do that. We can all do that. So each one's going to receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. We're working with God. You are God's vineyard. You are God's building. That's where I get the language I use. That's what you guys are. We'll stop right there. I'm going to bring this up. And we're going to look at some things. So, we see a carnal, worldly, fleshly, whatever you want to call it, someone who's saved living in sin. And they're bringing that sin into the local body, right? You can do that. You can do that. Absolutely. A carnal, worldly believer needs milk. They need milk. They can't handle solid food. They're not going to grow. There's no growth there. Milk is for what baby believers need. At a certain point, you should be on that. And if you're still using milk, you're of no value in the ministry world, let's say. There's envying. These are born-again believers that God gave the increase on, right? That are coming together. They look like a church. They look like they're doing something for God. They have noise. They have programs. They have all these things. But they have milk. There's no spiritual growth. I'm not saying numbers. There's people there. Envy, strife, divisions. Paul says they're behaving like unsaved men. They have a misunderstanding of each believer's role in the body. Paul, Apollos. Now, this, unfortunately, can be seen today. How sad. This happened thousands of years ago, and we still see churches that do this. Local bodies allowing this to happen. And the pastor is involved. The pastor's involved in this stuff. Don't look at how big or how busy, how small, how busy. Just because someone's a small church doesn't mean they're doing God's will either. It can't be small church because they're just mean and critical. You don't look at numbers. You don't look at size. You don't look at any of that. You walk in there and you look at, hey, the number one thing people talk about when they talk to me about visiting here is the Spirit is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. I can't conjure that up. I can pray. I can fast. I can do what I can control. But that's because you are desiring that. Now, does that mean we're not going to have conflict? No. We're going to have conflict. We have the right spirit, we'll know how to address conflict. Correct? You can address conflict in love. All right? So here's what a carnal, worldly believer looks like after 5 or 6 years. This is the Corinthian church right here. It would behoove us to pay attention and not always get our examples of what to do from Corinth. You can look at what not to do to do. Right? Now, let's look at the spiritual side, right? Let's go to the opposite. Solid food. You can endure solid food. You can take it in and digest it. You might not initially understand, but you have the wherewithal to go, hey, I'm going to meditate on this. I can handle this, and I'll get the answers. Why? Because I know that God says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. I know God will give me wisdom. Might not be when I want it, but it's going to come. All right? We see spiritual growth. We see spiritual growth. Man alive. I'm going to try not to live in sin right now and boast in the Lord on our body of believers. Tuesday night, Tuesday Bible study, Sunday school, talking about what we're learning, what we're growing, what we're learning in, how we're growing. Who we're talking to about the Lord. How we're trying to talk to someone about the Lord. That is music to God's ears. Can you imagine how pleased God is with us in our individual lives? With that heart and that mindset? Man, praise the Lord. That's fantastic. So the opposite of envy, I would say, is love. Opposite of strife is peace. Opposite of divisions is unity. A spiritual person is going to have this. They're going to behave like Christ. They're going to understand each believer's role. Okay? We're going to understand this. This will get clearer, too, when we go on in the gifts coming up where they messed up. But Paul corrected them. He's going to help them. We can learn from this. This side over here, believe it or not, is there a church, is there an epistle you can think of that has this? Ephesians, excellent. Absolutely. The Ephesian church was right here. Now, over time, they lost their first love. There was a time when they had this. Look at the difference. Both are born again. Both children of God. At 5 or 6 years, you can have this. You can have this before 5 or 6 years. All of my motive. This is all in my heart. This shows a believer who's not afraid of Jesus. It blows me away how many young believers are scared of Jesus. What do you think I mean by that? They're born again. They trust Him for salvation, but they're afraid of Him. How would they be afraid of Jesus? I'm not talking reverential fear. Changing their life. Yep, selfishness. If I commit to Jesus, now that I'm born again, if I commit, what would Jesus now require of me? My response is, who cares? Who cares what Christ requires of you? There are a lot of works after you're saved. We're going to go over it. There are a lot of works after salvation, not for salvation, but working for Jesus, living for Jesus. My role in the church, the local body, my role out in society, it's a lot of work. You will definitely have to abide in Christ. You will definitely have to conform to the image of Christ. You will definitely have to yield yourself, Romans 6, to what Christ has for you. And in America, it's hard to do. Because you want the Creator God, Jesus, and you want you, God, in society. And many times this will conflict with my lifestyle. This will conflict with my job. This will conflict with who I hang out with my fleshly desires, where I'm going in life. This, you see, they're doing what they want to do. We have our leaders. We have our groups. We have our gifts. We have our communion. We have our love feast. They have all this. Look how messed up it is. How embarrassing. How embarrassing that they would reflect Jesus like that. How thankful. How wonderful. How beautiful. See the difference? Horrible representation. Horrible ambassador for Christ. I'm not knocking baby Christians. We all start there, right? We all have things that we say when we're young Christians, and now we look back and go, why would I even think that, right? We all have times where we think things and we look back and go, how did I ever conclude that? Right? And we grow from that. Hey, the things that I was preaching, I've been pastoring 11 years now, let's say 8 years ago, are not the same things I'm preaching now. Why? I have grown. Now, without being proud and arrogant, I wasn't living here the whole time. Or else I wouldn't be where I'm at now. Right? Same with you. I can start with Bob and work our way all the way around to Michael. We don't have to stay here. We don't even have to get here. How many times have you seen someone trust Christ as their Savior, brand new babe in Christ, and they just go? There are bumps and bruises, right? How many times have we helped our children walk? When you help a child walk, they are going to fall. They will. You can't help that. They don't have balance, equilibriums, figuring things out, right? I mean, the signs are there, because even when they're trying to get on their hands and knees to crawl, they fall over, right? The signs are there. Exactly. Exactly. So I'm not saying young in the Lord. This is not young in the Lord and growing. This is young in the Lord and staying. And letting the world, letting society control how we do things. They got their model from the wrong area. And this is what comes of it. In love, don't misunderstand the gospel when it says to not judge. Jesus says, and when you judge, have righteous judgment. Have righteous judgment. You are to judge. You are to judge righteously, lovingly. Do you think Paul is judging these people when he writes to Corinth? Absolutely, he's judging them. Are you kidding me? He's rebuking them. He's judging them. In love. In love. Because he wants to bring them here. When you walk in the Spirit, you will know how to judge someone. It'll come out with so much peace and grace. You're not going to try to do it. That's who you are. It'll just come out. I don't worry about what to say. I know God wants His child, not here and here. If God wants that first child, what do I have to worry about? He wants that more than I do. I want to be that vessel to get them over there. I'm not going to get in the way. This person's not responsible to me. They're not hurting me. They're hurting their walk and relationship with Jesus. That's what breaks my heart. When I walk in the Spirit, this person here will grieve me. I'll be burdened and sad for them. I won't be angry and mad. I'll be burdened and sad. It'll grieve my spirit to want them to come over here to this side. Everyone has a choice in their life. Now, if someone is here, doesn't mean they're always going to be here, right? What was the point of Paul writing a letter to the Corinth church if they were always going to be here? There'd be no point. He's helping them see where they're wrong to come over here. So don't give up on someone that you might know that's over here. Don't give up on them. Pray for them. Encourage them. Now, you don't have to be around them and hang out with them, but at least pray for them. It's really cool. Carnal, worldly, we're gonna have this fruit, right? This will be our fruit over here. Spiritual, we're going to have this fruit. Galatians, right? Fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. Both fruits are there, of the flesh in Galatians 5 and the Spirit. And Paul's addressing at Corinth how that came out. They were exalting men. They were using the world's philosophy in the church. They adopted that program and used it in their body. That's what led to this. So what can we take from that for us thousands of years later, outside of that context, outside of that culture, and bring it into America? The world philosophy hasn't changed. It's still lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is not a business. It's a body. And it's the best body this world has ever seen. Jesus Christ. What am I doing as an individual believer of this local body to be over here? What am I doing in my day-to-day life to be over here? This is day-to-day. Don't look at weeks, months, years, every day. And when you look back after your year, you're going to go, whoa, man, have I grown. Just in 3 weeks on studying eschatology, I know it. I'm not an expert by any means. But just studying out the details this year has taken my church beliefs and has only elevated it as a byproduct. I'm not even looking at church doctrine right now. I'm looking at eschatology doctrine things over here. But it's only elevated this side. For 3 weeks, I go, wow, I am so grateful and thankful for the shed blood of Christ. I'm even more thankful. You know how you get to a point and you think, I can't get any more thankful. I'm even more thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ that are like-minded. I'm even more thankful. I'm even more burdened and more sad for those that are over here. I'm more burdened and sad for those over here. I don't want to fight them or be angry with them. I'm just going to pray earnestly for them. So just as a byproduct of growing in eschatology, it's brought this stuff up more. It's really cool. What am I doing? Do I understand the roles of the church? Do I understand my role of being here at the Way Church? Do I understand my role when I'm outside of here? Hey, if you do, you might not have complete full knowledge, but you'll be walking in the Spirit. That's what I'm concerned with. Are the people of this congregation walking in truth and love? Walking with that fruit of the Spirit? Understanding I have a role to play here. And no matter what society dictates or offers, I'm not going to let it sidetrack my responsibility in Jesus Christ to his people and to the lost. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. Lord, we're grateful and thankful for 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Lord, it's such a sad statement that Paul could not speak to these brothers and sisters at this time as spiritual but as worldly. Lord, he couldn't feed them with solid food. He had to talk to them and teach them with milk. Lord, these divisions of I'm of Paul, I have Apollo, sort of exalting man like society does, only brings the flesh, only keeps us spiritually not growing. Lord, I know for a fact all of us in here don't want that. Allow our hearts and minds to, number one, be humble to you and your word. And if it contradicts a man that we look up to, Lord, allow us to side with what your word has to say. Lord, allow our hearts and minds to understand that each one has their own calling, their own ministry, their own job here. That you're going to reward the labor, not the increase, Lord, because that's your job. You're going to reward the labor that each one of us gives out. Lord, allow us, like here at Corinth, with Paul and Apollos, allow us to be laborers together with God. Lord, thank you for this truth. Use it to encourage us and strengthen us today. Bless our afternoon. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.